Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, and again, I come into your home, institution, or automobile with another gospel message from the Word of God. And friend, who knows? This may be the last gospel message ever preached. Yes, we're living in terrible days, days just prior to the Lord's return. And sinner friend, if you're not saved soon, the likelihood is you'll not be saved at all. Because I believe the door of God's grace is about to be closed. And those who aren't saved when Jesus Christ comes again are going to be left behind and therefore subject to the terrible divine judgment and wrath of a holy God. So please, sinner friend, give serious thought to your spiritual condition before God today. And if you're only a professing Christian, without having been truly born again, then please cast aside your false profession or form of godliness and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul right now. Tell God you realize that you're a sinner and that you can't do anything to save your own soul. Then in simple childlike faith, simply place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gives the assurance that him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So trust him now before it's eternally too late. Now perhaps someone is thinking, well, how will I know if I'm really saved? Friend, the Word of God is the assurance of salvation. It's the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith therein that secures your salvation, but it's the Word of God that gives the assurance of salvation. God repeatedly gives his promise that if a sinner accepts his Son as their Savior, that sinner is immediately born again into the family of God. So friend, it isn't a feeling that saves your soul. It's faith in God's Word and God's Son. So don't delay, my friend. Right now, take God at his Word and accept his Son as your own and personal Savior, and you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. Now let's listen to our first hymn for today. And it asks the question, are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Friends, friends, I thank God today for the value and the virtue of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's not religious ritual. It's not trying to keep the golden rule or the Ten Commandments. It's not being baptized, confirmed, or dedicated, or reading my Bible or saying my prayers that I'm depending upon to take me to heaven. Friend, I'm depending alone upon the precious blood of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you before we get into the message today, that if you're depending upon anything apart from the blood of Christ to get you into God's heaven, you are even now on the broad road going down to hell and the lake of fire. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today with gratitude and thanksgiving in our heart, thanking thee, our God, for thy beloved Son. We think of the words that he uttered so memorable long, long ago, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we thank thee for the truth of those words, and we pray thy blessing today, our God, upon every faithful effort that is being made to win sinners to Christ. Bless every servant of thine worldwide, telling forth the words of redeeming love expressed in the blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to another lovely gospel tune, and it's entitled, Tell Me the Old, Old Story.
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon, the early dew of morning has passed away at noon.
Me in the scriptures, I'll be using as my text a verse of scripture as we find it in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read together verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'll repeat the last half of that verse again. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today, I want to direct my message to someone who, whether they realize it or not, may be listening to the gospel for the very last time. Yes, you've heard the gospel many times in the past, and you've been spoken to by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. At various times in your life, you've really been concerned about your soul. You actually came to the door of salvation, and yet at the last moment, you refused to take the step of faith. And today, right now, yes, right now, today, you're further from God than you've ever been before. But listen, friend, God has made it possible for you to hear the gospel again today. He knows how often you've rejected his offer of salvation, and he knows how you've chosen the world and turned your back on Jesus Christ. But friend, God also knows that this is your last chance to be saved through faith in the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that you're about to be cut down in your sin, and that will mean all eternity in hell with its terrible torment and separation from God. And you've been basking in the sunshine of God's love for many, many years, and you're still only a heartbeat from eternal torment. And furthermore, it's only the grace, love, and mercy of God that has allowed you to listen to this program today. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now here it is, friend, your last chance to accept Christ as your Savior, and I wonder if you're going to be foolish enough to tell God that you don't need a Savior. Or perhaps you'll be even more foolish and say that you don't want a Savior. You know, I believe it's bad enough to hear people say that they don't need a Savior, but it's far worse to hear them say that they don't want a Savior. And yet, that's exactly what people are doing when they resist the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God. They're telling God, by their actions at least, that they're willing to go on in their sin and take a chance that they'll get saved later on in life. Listen, friend, hell is filled with people today who thought they would get saved later on in their life. Yes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Now let's take a brief look at some scriptures which warn against delay when it comes to accepting God's salvation. First of all, over in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, here's what God says. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, how true this is. Yesterday at this time, there were about 130,000 people who expected to be alive today. Most of them were in good health, and some of them, just like you, friend, had been convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, and they had expected to get saved someday. Unfortunately for them, their someday never came. They remind me of that man called Governor Felix over in Acts chapter 24, who was privileged to hear the gospel, and he was so convicted of his need of a Savior that he actually trembled. But what did he do? He procrastinated. He put it off, and he told the Apostle Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Yes, in so many words, here's what he told the Apostle Paul. "Go away. You leave me alone. When I have a more convenient time, then I'll call upon you." Well, friend, we never read where Governor Felix ever got saved. His day of salvation had come and gone. And today, even as I speak to you, Governor Felix is suffering in the eternal flames of hell. Tell me, friend, are you going to join Governor Felix? Are you going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and drop into hell? Oh, I hope not, friend. I hope you'll not continue trifling with your soul's salvation, because you may never see the light of another day. This may be your last day on earth, and friend, you can't say you haven't been warned. In Ezekiel 33 and verse 7, God says, warn them from me. And that's what I've been doing week after week on this Voice of the Gospel program. I've brought before you the fact that we're all born in sin and we've all been chastened in iniquity. I've shown you in the Bible, God's Word, where God says that we can do absolutely nothing to save our own souls, because all the work of salvation has been done by His Son, Jesus Christ, at the place called Calvary. Yes, we are saved or born again the moment we stop trying to save ourselves and begin trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, today I'm speaking to procrastinators, those of you who know that you should be saved, but you're putting it off. Yes, you know that you should be saved today, but perhaps today, like you have in the past, you're going to put it off for that more convenient season, that tomorrow or someday, which may never come. Well, let's look at another scripture to prove that God wants you to accept His Son as your Savior today. Over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, here's what we read. Today, if ye will hear His voice, that means God's Word, harden not your heart. Friends, some of you listening in today are gospel hardened. You've said no to God so many times that the love of God, the death of Christ, and the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God have little or no effect upon your soul at all. Friend, what if God takes you at your word? What if God should say, well, I've given that sinner many chances to be saved, and every time I do, they say no. So I'm going to take them at their word. I believe they're telling the truth when they reject my salvation. I'll withdraw my offer of eternal life in heaven, and I'll let them perish in their sin. I just won't bother them anymore. What then, my friend? What then? You know, in Genesis 6 and 3, God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man, and neither he shall. Oh, friend, if God's Holy Spirit stopped striving for your soul, you would never have another opportunity to get saved. No, as far as you're concerned, the door of God's grace would be shut, and you'd have nothing to look forward to but the terrible wrath of a sin-hating God. Now, still another warning by God is given over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. There we read that now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When does God want you to repent of your sin? N-O-W, now. Not tomorrow or next week or next year, but now. Again, in Luke chapter 14 and verse 17, God is inviting the sinner to the gospel supper, and here's what he says. Come, for all things are now ready. Yes, and even though all things are now ready, people give every excuse possible for not coming to Christ. Listen, radio friend, if you don't come to Jesus Christ and by faith accept Him as your Savior, it's because you don't want to come to Christ. God has done all that He can to save your soul. He sent His Son into the world to die on the cross for your sins. And now, right now, all you have to do is to believe it with all your heart. Not just with your head, but with your heart. Is that too difficult to do, my friend? Sure, I'll admit that it sounds too simple, because logic tells us that anything as precious as eternal life must be difficult to attain, or must require considerable effort on the part of the sinner. But listen, friend, believe God. Don't believe your finite reasoning or the natural way of looking at things. And furthermore, don't believe what the preacher or priest tells you either, unless he can show you chapter and verse for what he says. You know, friends, I think it's a crime the way so-called clergymen are leading their congregations astray. I would guess that about 9 out of 10 are telling their congregations that they can reach heaven by good works, religious rituals, or trying to keep the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. And yet these same pastors can't find even one verse in the entire Bible to back them up. Listen, friend, I don't hesitate to say that most ministers today are going down to hell. They've never been saved themselves, and I don't care how educated they are or how eloquent their oratory may sound, They may even have the initial DD after their name, meaning Doctor Divinity. But if they're not born again through faith in the blood of Christ, those initials DD mean doomed and damned. Now, I'm not trying to be smart about this, friend, and I'm not trying to vilify all so-called men of the cloth, but I could weep. Yes, I could cry when I think of the millions of poor souls who attend spiritually dead churches and listen to spiritually dead preachers. Now, friends, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but I know a little bit about dead churches and dead preachers because I attended dead churches for many years, and I was actually preaching in dead churches before I got saved. And, friend, if I had dropped dead in the pulpit, my soul would have been in hell before my body hit the floor. Well, getting back to you who are neglecting your soul's salvation, I'm reminded of what we read over in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Listen to this. This is Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Friend, please don't go on in your sin. Believe God when He says that His Son died for your sin at Calvary's cross. Yes, and don't forget the solemn warning He gives over in Proverbs 29 and 1. He that being often reproved or warned, hard of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 29 and 1. God says, he that being often reproved or warned, hard of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Well, friends, our text tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The decision then is entirely up to you. And right now, either actively or passively, you are making your decision either for or against Jesus Christ. You're telling God that you realize your need for a Savior and you're going to accept His Son right now. Or else you're telling God, perhaps for the last time, that you don't want to be saved and that you're willing to suffer in eternal hell for all your sins. Friends, I read in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Did you hear that? God is recording this day against you, friend. He is setting before you life or death, blessing and cursing, and He says you'd be wise if you chose life. Why? That both thou and thy seed or thy offspring may live. Friend, listen, if you're a parent listening in today, if you're not saved and born again, the likelihood is your offspring, your seed, or your children will never hear the gospel of the grace of God, and they too will die in their sin. Friend, please don't be foolish. God says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Friend, remember, destiny is determined by decision. So whether you realize it or not, as you hear the gospel of the grace of God today going forth out over the air, you're making a decision, either for or against Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And your decision will determine your soul's eternal destiny. In closing, my friend, I want you to know that God loves you. Yes, if you don't remember anything else I've said today, remember this. God loves you. God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, God loves you, my friend. And even though salvation for you is free, I want you to know that it cost the Lord Jesus Christ His own life's blood. So right now, whoever you are and wherever you may be, just acknowledge before God that you're a sinner. And you know you are, my friend, because there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. I, my friend, am a sinner saved by God's grace. But if you've never been saved, you're still a sinner under the condemnational wrath of a sin-hating God. So, friend, why not acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died? Admit, my friend, that you can't do a thing to save your own soul. And friend, if you could do anything to save your own soul, then why did Jesus die? And then, my friend, you must acknowledge that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was dying for your sin. He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Yes, he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. And friend, if you by simple childlike faith will look back in retrospect to Calvary today and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, I can tell you on the authority of this book, this Bible, the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, that if you'll trust Christ as your Savior, you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today at the close of another gospel message, and we thank thee for the privilege we've had of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love as expressed in the death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary. Our God, we believe there are some of thy creatures listening in today, and they've heard the gospel perhaps many times, and they're still unsaved. Oh God, we pray for them today. We trust that thy Holy Spirit, even now, through thy word, might be bringing both conviction and conversion to their soul. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast, but I want to announce that I'm willing to send good gospel literature to anyone who would care to have it. If you'd like to have some free gospel tracts and other literature that will help you to get saved, if you'll believe it, if you'll just write to me, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. As I say, if you'll just write to me, giving me your name and address, I'll send this literature to you, free and postpaid. There's no obligation whatsoever. It will be sent out to you absolutely without cost. And now, friends, until our next broadcast, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come, I say, if the Lord doesn't come, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.